In the book of 1 John chapter 4, John wrote this, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That's just a big word for a cover of our sins. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power and the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, say, "Glory to God." We're almost through. Amen. Now, contrary, I had several requests, but I thought about going ahead and singing anyway. But some of y'all looked up and saw me get this book out. I didn't get it out to sing. I want to read you something, because this morning I'm going to preach to you for a few moments about God's love. I want to read you something. It's in the hymnal. Was found in an insane asylum, scratched on the wall of a man that was deemed to be totally crazy. But listen to what he said. "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could we the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." I don't know about y'all, but I don't think that guy was as crazy as they thought he was. He understood more about the love of God than a lot of us in church understand about the love of God. I want to talk to you this morning because, you see, we need to understand there is nothing so immeasurable or as important as God's love. Amen. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, most of us don't even understand the love of God today. God is love. Do you really understand what that means? Have you ever considered the magnitude of the statement? Amen. Well, listen to this. First of all, God's love is uncompromising. Somebody said, "Wait a minute, preacher, that's not a good sermon text." Listen, I want to ask y'all something. Would you want your mailman to sit out in front of your house and go through your mail and decide what you needed to get that was going to make you feel good, and what you didn't need to get, and throw the stuff you didn't think you needed to get away? Like the bills and stuff you don't want to get, he chunk it away, and then you end up in jail because you ain't paid your bills. Glory. But you want preachers to come in and go through what we're supposed to preach and chunk out everything that we think is going to make you feel bad or make you get a little uneasy so you can feel good while you're sitting there. And the truth of the matter is, you're still going to have to answer to this word whether I preach it to you or you don't know about it. Come on, church. So I'm going to preach the truth to you, and that is simply this. God's love is uncompromising, which simply means this. God's love never conflicts with his holiness. Someone said, "What are you talking about?" If he didn't hate evil, then his love would not be a holy love. There's no change in God's standard of holiness for the church. God doesn't change who he is so he can love us. He changes us through his love so we can love him. Hello? Somebody said, "Preacher, you believe that?" Listen, Isaiah said it this way in the 45th chapter. He said, "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who have declared that from ancient times, who have told it from that time, and have not I the Lord. And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am the God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth of righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are increased against him shall be ashamed. For in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall be gloried." Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm trying to tell you there is one God. He loves us, but he is a God that is a God of judgment and a God who set down laws, and he's God that because he loves us, he will chastise us. Could you say amen? Deuteronomy, he said, "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all the ways are of judgment, and God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I'm trying to tell you that we got a God that loves us. Listen, when I was a kid, my dad used to tell me something I thought was real dumb. He'd walk up and say, "This is going to hurt me more than it is you." Now, some of you parents ain't never made that statement to your kids because you ain't never done what my daddy was doing to me. Glory. Any of y'all know what child abuse is? My daddy didn't know the word. My mama was less knowledgeable of it than he was. Dad always had a razor strap he used to tell me how much he loved me. Mom, it was anything in her hand, from a plug-in cord to a fly flap. At 18 years old, my mama loved me with a broom right across the back of my head, knocked me cold as a wedge, because I made a smart aleck remark to her, and she let me understand, even at 18, I was her kid. Ain't that right, Alex? He remember mama hitting her with stuff, hitting him with stuff. He'd go into her room, she'd get on him. I told him, I said, son, don't get close. She can't run no more. But my dad used to go in there and get that razor strap and said, it's going to hurt me more than you. I got real smart one day. I said, well, let's swap places. So he felt like hurting himself a little more. I got a few extra licks for that statement. Amen. But you know, I used to think to myself, if he loved me, he wouldn't do that. But then I began to realize he was trying to train me up and to teach me some things I needed to know. And the only time he did it was when he was really trying to make sure that I didn't do something I really didn't need to do anymore. Hello? Listen, Revelation chapter 15. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord God Almighty. Just and true are the ways, thou kings of the saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all the nations shall come and worship thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. You know what he's telling us? He's saying our God is a God that's a holy God. He loves us, but he doesn't compromise his holiness just so he can be in fellowship with us. What we've got to do is conform to him so that we can be in love with him. Could you say amen? Praise God. Amen. And that's all there is about the love of God. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, you believe God's love is uncompromising? I thank God, as I've gotten older, that my mom and dad didn't let me get away with some of the stuff I was trying to do. Hello? Come on. I got some kids going, shut up, preacher. My mom and dad's listening. I hope they are. Oh, back then I thought it was just horrible. Then I realized I broke the law. And if I kept breaking the law, I was going to end up more trouble than it was worth. And he was just trying to keep me from doing it. Listen, Psalms chapter 5. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall the evil dwell with thee. For the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. But he also said in Psalms, the Lord is in the holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. But the Lord trieth in righteousness, but the wicked in him that loveth violence in his soul, he hateth. You see, the love of God's extended on a cross. It bars our way to hell. It keeps us from the things we don't need. But if we reject that love and finally refuse, there's a time when God has to simply weep because he understands I can't do anything for somebody who don't want to do anything for themselves. God's love can only be bound by you and I when we refuse to accept that love and return it to him. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, said, preacher, what's conviction? It is God pouring out the holy love of his life into your heart, and you sitting there going, no, I'm not loving back. And the more you say no, the harder it gets to sit in church and listen to a preacher preach. But if you ever open up your eyes and say, God, I love you, that's all it's going to take. There is no science to salvation. There is nothing you got to do on your own. All you got to do is come to God and say, God, I love you because you are God. And when you do, I got a God that's going to love you so much, everything in your life is going to change. Could you say amen? Amen. Amen. Now, notice this. God's love is also unchangeable. What does that mean? That means they don't change from one generation to the next. I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, we need a new Bible. We're in a new generation. Why, after 2,000 years, somebody got the idea we got to have a new Bible? Hello? I don't need a new Bible. It worked 2,000 years ago. It'll work right now. Somebody said, well, I don't understand all them these and thous. I don't have to understand them. I just believe they're real. Oh, come on, church. You know, when I got saved in the 70s, they were still preaching the same old Bible. And God come down and saved me because, you know what? God's love doesn't change. This is what the Bible tells us in the book of Malachi. He said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Did you hear what he said? He said, those that ought to have been consumed, I've got grace because I loved them. Y'all know the sons of Jacob. That's that bunch of boys that sold their brother into slavery and lied about it. I mean, that's a pack of junk. But he took care of them because he loved them. Come on, church. Smile at me. Some of y'all look at me like, well, wait a minute, preacher. Take a look around you. I don't know that there's any golden vessels in this place till God got a hold of us. Come on. See, some of y'all think more of yourself than you ought to sometimes. Glory. Amen. I kind of like what one preacher said. We ain't nothing but a sack of dirt with water at it. Hello? See, I done got someone like, yeah, preacher, I'm worth more than that. Not in the eyes of the whole real thing when you look at it. We're nothing. I don't know about y'all, but I wasn't nothing special when God got a hold of me. Hello? But you know what? God's love didn't change. James, this is what he said. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning. You know what that says? That God ain't going to change every other year because the generation changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the God that was sufficient in the days of Noah is a God that's sufficient for the days we're living in right now. That God that was able to pick people up in days gone by is the same God that's able to do it now. Could you say amen? God's not fickle. Boy, ain't you glad God ain't like some folks every other week got a different thing going on? You know, this week I'm this, that week I'm that, and I'm always, and you just keep, I like people to get steady. You know, and the great thing about God is he's the same every time you go to talk to him. He doesn't change. Amen. You know, Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from England, was walking through the field one day with a guy, and he saw a weather vane on top of a barn. And on that vane, it said, the love of God. He said, somebody ought to take that down. The guy said, what are you talking about? He said, the love of God don't change, and that thing will change every time the wind goes. He said, you misunderstand the meaning. He said, what are you talking about? He said, that says no matter how the wind blowing, God's love is the same. Amen. Come on, church. You ever notice that? The weather vane don't change. It's just the wind direction changes the way the weather's taking it. Amen. The love of God doesn't change, but it leeches to whoever it has to with any way it's got to. God loves us for who we are, not for what we're going to be. He loves us just like we are, and because of that, his love never changes. Changes. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. God's love is unchangeable. But I notice this, God's love is also unending. Jeremiah 31:3. For the Lord hath appeared in old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God's love for us is eternity, without beginning and without end. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians 1. According to what he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. You know what he said? He said he loved us so bad we just got accepted by everybody else he loved. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but my dad tells me that the day I was born, God spoke to him and said I'd take his place. Now, my dad was a backslid preacher. I had no idea. And I'll be honest with you, the first 19 years of my life, you'd have thought I'd have been anything but a preacher. Amen. You know why? Because every time I'd get in church, God start telling me about being a preacher. I'd get out of church and start getting bad as I could because I didn't want to be a preacher. Because I didn't want it. But you know what? The love of God in my life never changed. The love of God never backed off. Amen. And it wasn't long till I began to bump into the love of God everywhere I turned in my life. And my life wasn't worth living anymore because everything I'd done, I found a God that loved me that I didn't want to love. Until one night I made up my mind, I've gone as far as I can go, nowhere else to go. And I turned around and started loving him. And when I did, my whole life changed. Everything in me become real again. And all of a sudden I had a life that was worth living because of the love of God. Could you say amen? Man, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, said charity never faileth. For wherewith were the prophecies, that they shall fail. Where there is the tongues, they shall cease. But where there is knowledge, it shall vanish away. What he's saying is, love ain't giving up. Amen. Now, you folks that are listeners of music, you probably heard a song one time called Love Without Ending, Amen. That's one of them somebody will sing in church one time saying it's a Christian song. Glory. I got some country music people mad now. I won't sing it. Glory. It's a country music song by George Strait. But in that thing, he said, fathers never stop loving. It's a love that never ends. Amen. Now, that describes my Father in heaven. Amen. because he's never going to quit loving me, even though he may have to chastise me. Come on, church, that's good stuff. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? And as it is written, for thy sake are ye killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what that said? That said there is nothing I'm going to do in my life, nothing anything else can do in my life that's going to make God quit loving me. Could you say amen? God's love is unconditional. Listen to what 1 John tells us, that we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Nothing about us makes God love us. You know, some folks got this idea they lovable creatures. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I got a sermon somewhere in an old tape called, it's about watch them dogs. It's a black preacher over in Atlanta preaching about dogs in the church. And he got talking about all the different dogs. You know, he had the hound dog that lays around all night barking, stirring up all this mess in the community. Nobody can get him to get quiet. And then you got the coon dog that runs around all during the night trying to bite something in the dark. Well, it's a good sermon. I ain't going to preach it. But the one I liked was the poodle dog. You know, got to have special bath salt, got to have the hair fixed ever so often, got to have the nose painted, the toes painted, you know. Yeah, and he said, you know who them folks are in the church? They're the ones walk in late, tipping the hat like we ought to be glad they showed up. Amen. You know, we got some folks, they believe God loved me because I was lovable when he got me. I got to tell you something, church. Even if you was raised in church and had a band of gold wrapped around you from a day you was born, you were still born in sin. And without the love of God and the grace of God, you were on your way to hell. But thank God, God didn't love me because I was lovable. He didn't bring me in because I was somebody that could do something for him. But he found the lowest piece of junk in this world and began to work on it with his love and began to turn it around. And everything we are and everything we're ever going to be is because we got a God who loves us and cares for us. Could you say amen? Glory. Romans chapter 3, as it written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together and become unprofitable. There are none that does good, no, not one. Hello. So next time you have one of them mossy back hypocrites look down their nose at you, say, hey, I'm saved by grace that like you. Oh, I messed up. Some of y'all don't like that term. I'm sorry. My wife told me I need to quit using terms folks didn't like. So you're like a stuck-up on theyself person, think they're the only one saved. Tell them next time, I'm by grace just like you. Hello? Come on, church. Smile at me. I know I made a bunch of you mad, but you get over it. Were it not for the love of God, ain't none of us got a shot. We're all destined to hell. One of the greatest things you can ever do for yourself is go to a library, sit down, and read a sermon preached in the late 1700s by the name of The Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. A man wrote that thing out, never preached, he just read it. My God, it'll make the hair stand up on your head if you got any. Glory. I had to borrow some. I was reading it, and the guy over the next table's hair stood up. I mean, it just bothered him. He took his text out of Deuteronomy where it said, thy foot shall slip in due time. And he pointed out, we, like a spider on a little thread of a web, hang over the very fires of hell. But that web is the grace of God. And but for that grace, we all would be consumed. Do you realize after he read that sermon, over 800 people came to know Jesus Christ in a 24-hour period just from what he read to them? Amen, because it blew their mind to find out there was a God loved them so much that it didn't matter who they were or where they came from, that there was a God that loved them so much that he just wanted to bring your life around and give them something to live for. Can I tell you this morning, God doesn't care where you came from. He doesn't care what your background is. He doesn't care what you did this morning before you got here. All he knows is he loves you so much that he's willing to lay down his life that you can have life everlasting in him. And my friend, that is the love of God. Hallelujah. Pastor had a man come in one day and said, I want to talk to you, Pastor, about Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Pastor, what does it say? He says, it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I hated. He said, Pastor, I got a problem with God saying he hated Esau. The pastor said, I got a problem with he saying he loved Jacob. Hello? You ever thought about that? You ever took a little scander down through the Old Testament and read about them people that God made great people out of? I mean, you got Jacob, liar, supplanter, deceiver. Now, I know it said God hated Esau, but Esau was a sinner. He was away from God, and it wasn't meant that God hated him. God hated the life he was living, wanted him to change. But he loved Jacob because no matter how bad Jacob was, Jacob loved God back. And God began to take that stuff out of him and make a man of God out of him, and eventually changed him so much he became Israel. Amen. Glory. Amen. But I'll be honest with you, church, you read through that Old Testament, some of them folks God got a hold of, and you find out it ain't church folks. Some of them were church folks, were still bad. I mean, my Lord, there's Samson. Every time you turn around, the Spirit of God's hitting him. But in between times, he's running around with people and drinking, getting mad, tearing the gates off of cities. Hey, any of y'all know David, the wonderful king? Man, if he was my neighbor, I'd never leave the house if my wife was home. Oh. He'd end up married to her and I'd be dead. But he loved God. And because he loved God, he repented of his things, and God forgave him. And church, we've got to understand the only hope any of us has got is that we are able to find a God. Why do you think all those people in the Old Testament were like that? They are picture frames for us to see ourselves in them and realize no matter how bad we are, no matter how far to the left we go, there's a love of God sitting in the middle that said, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, and I'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. Could you say amen? See, I don't understand how God loved Jacob and how God loved Samson and God loved the different one. I couldn't tell you why God loved me, but I know he did, and I know he does. And because of that, I got the life of God in me. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, church. There's some people on the sound of my voice that you come to church this morning because you're looking for something. And you got preachers preaching to you every day something you need to know ain't right. Going to church will not get you peace. I'm going to go a little farther than that. I'm fixing to shock some of you, so wait till I get through with a statement. God does not give you peace. God does not give you joy. God is not going to give you faith. Because God is peace. And God is joy. And God is a faith that passes all understanding and the ability to overcome. And what Jesus gives you is himself, which is the love of God that died on a cross for us. Because it is in that love that we find the peace that passes all understanding. It's in that love we find the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. It is in that love that our life becomes changed to what God wants us to be. And without that love, we have nothing in this world. But in that love, we got a life that will carry us forever. And forever. And forever. Stand with me all over the house. Somebody said, Preacher, what's the difference between a Christian and people in the world? We're saved by grace. And by that grace, we grow in God to a point that one day we overcome some of the frailties that have dominated our life and carry us. And as we overcome those things, we count them lost because of the love of God. I got to go through the same trials everybody else has got to go through. But I thank God I'm not going through it alone, because I got a God that loves me, who will never leave me nor forsake me as long as I'm in love with him. You say, Preacher, you say once I get saved, I'm always be saved? No. You can mess up and get away from God, but God's not ever going to quit loving you. He's going to always be standing there saying, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open that door, I'll come in unto him. See, if you put a door between you and God, it's there. But if you'll open that door, he's still standing there waiting for you to open that door again, because he loves you. He didn't quit loving you. You can divorce him, but he's going to still love you. See, I believe if some people made it to church this morning for whatever reason, in reality, you're here because you really need something deep in your heart to turn your life around. I believe with all my heart that God is wanting to turn some of your lives around this morning. So no matter how hard you try,
You can never get away from the fact that God loves you just like you are. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, but he loved me. He didn't love what I was doing or the life I had, but he loved me. When I finally opened my heart to him and he came in, my life turned around. I had to live down a reputation so I could build something worth having. But God helped me do it through his love. I had to get rid of some habits in my life I couldn't hang on to and I thought I couldn't live without, but through God's love, I turned around. Can I tell you this morning, some of y'all need to realize your only hope, your only peace, your only joy is to come to know the love of God and the full power of his grace, his love. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Spirit of the living God, touch us this day. Move on us with your glory. God, I am believing you for your anointing today. Let your love wrap around us. In Jesus' name.